Blog Talk Radio.
There it is, baby. There it is. Summer love. Summer loving, having a blast. Uh-oh, here we go. Somebody's about to join in with me. Summer loving, happened so fast. Summer love, Asia.
Yes, it's here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we've got Asia Downing, and we've got the Eric Terrell Show. Listen here, I want to make a call out right now to my man Q. My man Q is is absent, and I've got a problem with that. Asia, I don't know if you remember, because there's been a few of them, but Q used to call in at really random times. He was a guy who would listen to my show and just call in, and he sent me a nice letter on my email, and I haven't heard from Q in a while. So Q, where the hell are you, dude? I don't know if you're listening and not saying anything, but you're being weird. So say something. And this is a phone blast, so call in, Q, because we miss you, man. You had some good points, and
The radio tried to hang up on me earlier, so I don't know if she getting jealous or what, but I just called back twice. I was like, wait, what's going on? You want me to do something?
The Chappelle Show. It'll get really ignorant. Blog Talk Radio phone lines. You got to watch it. I chose not to do a five things this week. We're talking about gun control, and I didn't want to trivialize this topic. This is one of the most serious topics that we've ever discussed on the Eric Terrell Show. We're going to have a lot of fun next week. And for the next month, for the month of July, as you know, we do summer love. Nothing but hot, fun, sexual, loving, relationship topics.
Hi.
All relationship topics. But as we lead into summer love, we've got business at hand. Do you hear me? We've got business at hand. Also, before we get started, Asia, I'm back in the contest at Helium Comedy Club July 13th. I just want to say that real quick. 7 p.m. July 13th.
Good luck.
There we go. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Asia Downing. I appreciate you. Now, the matter at hand, which Asia and I will speak on, and then we will open to the phone lines as our phone blast begins, leading into summer love, is gun control, and from two different fronts. The first front being, whose problem is gun control? Now, of course, you got politicians who have to deal with the problem, but who makes a problem out of gun control culturally? We're talking white people and we're talking black people. Who are the ones giving humanity a bad name? If not, both of us equally. Now, the second front from which we will attack the topic of gun control, which is the front which we will discuss right now primarily, or shall I say initially, is from a more human perspective. Guns, gun control. What kind of gun control should there be? Let's get beyond, for now, let's move beyond who's making it a problem. Let's move beyond the cultural differences that I see show up so many times in society, and let's just talk about the fact that we've got a problem. We've got a big problem, and there needs to be control on guns. I've got some phone calls in on the line already, which I will get to shortly. Now, Asia, 1996 was a big year in Australia. I was 5 years old in 1996. I had no idea what was going on in Australia.
You didn't know what Australia was.
Exactly. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know. I didn't know about Australia, and I didn't know about guns. But I mean, I still don't know about Australia. But if this happened in 2016, I would know. I would know that it happened. But 20 years ago, in 1996, there was a huge massacre. The world's biggest massacre. I'm talking about bigger than the massacre at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida, which is the biggest or deadliest massacre in American history, which if I'm going to be honest, sparked us doing this topic because that was such a record-setting deadly massacre. But I found out that there was a record-setting deadly massacre on the global scale before last month or a few weeks ago in Australia. Biggest massacre on Earth to date. Now, we're not going to get too much into the numbers of that massacre. But prior to that, in the 10 years prior to this big massacre in 1996, there were 10 more massacres in Australia. And Australia decided that they had enough in 1996 when this massacre occurred, and they said, you know what, it's gotten out of hand, no more guns, they banned guns, Australia doesn't do guns. So,
whoa, at all?
Well, I mean, I'm only saying what I've read. From what I know, they don't. This is something I found out literally last week, Asia. I don't. But from what I know, Australia does not do guns. Now, obviously, police officers and all types of officials and licensed professionals have guns. But as far as civilians, there's no guns. Now, are we going to wait until 1996 Australia happens in the United States of America? I've got a drastic statement, and to some people it's not drastic, but to some people I'm being blasphemous. And that statement is that, you know what, I don't like guns. I don't want to see guns. I hear kids at the schools I work at talk about guns, and I'm like, what is it, video games? Is it TV? Is it movies? Why are we all obsessed, even at a young age, with guns? Now, it's true that guns don't necessarily kill people. People kill people, but people can't kill people without guns. Now, if you're a lethal weapon, you know, if you can strike people down in 3 seconds, you know, by hitting that pressure point, or you're Mike Tyson or somebody, then you can kill people. I can't kill anybody without a gun. Most of us can't kill people without a gun. Orlando wouldn't have happened without guns. Now, my thing is, the number of the day is 0.1. Now, I'm deriving this number from the following statistic. Okay, first of all, before I get there, I did read another study in 2010 that read, Asia, that there were zero, quote-unquote, justifiable homicides in that year. In the year 2010, when they conducted this study, this is from the Huffington Post, there were zero, quote-unquote, justifiable homicides. I didn't say 10, I didn't say 20, I didn't say 2. There were none. Nobody
right,
was
zero.
Killed. Nobody was killed that had done wrong, where there was evidence that person had done wrong and was being killed in self-defense. There's no records of justifiable homicides. Now, that's just the year that the study was done. In that same year, there were 19,392 suicides at the hand of a gun. Now, gun ownership presents a myriad of issues. We're talking suicide, fatal youth accidents, homicides, and suicides. For most of the people who listen to my radio show, suicide is the second leading cause of death for people below the age of 35. Suicides. And you're 80% more likely to kill yourself simply by owning a gun than to kill someone who's a quote-unquote bad guy, someone who's out to get you. You're drastically more likely, substantially more likely to use that gun on yourself than to kill a criminal. We're talking 0 to 19,332, and that's just suicides. That's not counting all of the fatal youth accidents and homicides and all of the other uses that these people, that these civilians found for gun ownership. People use guns because they want to use guns. Now, if you want to hunt, then maybe you should just be given a gun when you go hunt. If you want to be a police officer, well, you'll earn the right to have a gun when you become a police officer. But for civilians to have guns, I find it's hazardous. Now, we're going to hear from a few different people in the following minutes. But I told you the number of the day was 0.1. And before you respond to everything I said, Asia, I'm just going to say right now that the same study or a different study by the same group on Huffington Post found that civilians use guns to protect themselves so rarely that intended victims of property crimes engage in self-defense with a firearm only 0.1% of the time they were targeted by a crook. Not 1%. We're talking 0.1%. of the time people actually use their gun for self-defense. We've got guns. We are strapped. Guns are here. They are everywhere. But why are we using these guns? If there was a world, if we lived in a world vacant of guns, outside of police officers, I mean, they need guns. But if none of us had guns, how much worse off could we be? Asia, go ahead. Let us have it. I'm just going on and on. Go ahead. Asia, okay. We've got Asia disconnected. I've got a phone call. Phone blast, people, phone blast. Here we go. Got to get to my man right here. Sorry, I've been keeping you waiting, bro. You are out to dinner. It is a glorious occasion for you and your family, and I'm impeding on that. I appreciate you calling in for us, bro. My man Kyle, let us have it.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? First and foremost, I'm listening to the show. It's my first time. I'm really digging it. Much respect to you and your co-host and the whole team, all the listeners. Much respect. Shout out to you guys for doing your thing.
Thank you, sir. My man.
No problem. So
appreciate
I want to
you.
Weigh on the issue. I had a quick correction. The recent Pulse shooting in Orlando wasn't the deadliest massacre in American history. It was the deadliest mass shooting in our generation. One of the deadliest massacres. I'm sure you've heard of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The bombing was a race riot. I believe it lasted about three days. And over the course of about 3 days, they not only did the U.S. government drop bombs on business owners who did nothing wrong and just pretty much leveled a neighborhood, leveled three blocks, actually, but they also murdered people, very, very few. Okay, I can't say very few because I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but not everyone was shot between fires, many of them were beaten to death or lynched. Or died due to being trapped in a building that had collapsed after the fire. And that was
right.
Only in 1921, not including anything that happened with the Native Americans or anything that happened to colored people.
Before you finish, I want to say this is this bombing was a civilian on civilian bombing.
Are you referring to Tulsa?
Yeah. It was a civilian on civilian bombing.
Yes. Well, the thing is, so they use military. So this is 1921. So many people who had came home had military from World War One had military training and still had access to those planes. So the government. So if you do the research, you won't find that these people had. This was actually the city of Tulsa or the state of Oklahoma dropping these bombs. So it wasn't military on civilians in that regard. However, because they were government trained and had access to government vehicles or airplanes for this matter, that's what I'm calling. However, they were civilians.
Right. Now we got to get past the correction. I really want to know what you think, because I know you have a very unique perspective on this issue. When I said it was the deadliest massacre of all time, I probably shouldn't have used the word massacre. It was the deadliest shooting probably of all time, a civilian on civilian shooting. I know there were bombs involved in Tulsa, but
correct.
But I don't know that one man gunned down a group as large as the group that had gotten gunned down in Orlando on a single night.
Definitely, that was definitely a tragedy. And when it comes to mass shootings, I know you had mentioned race earlier. Okay.
Right. And it's just because there were bombs involved puts it in a different category, because this episode is, you know, of course, about gun control. So by the hand of a gun, I think that's the biggest we have to date in America, if I'm not mistaken.
And that's why I mentioned that, actually, because the tragedies that have occurred to people of all races over the course of this country's existence, guns haven't always been the issue. I know you mentioned earlier, if people don't have, like you said, if guns don't kill people, people with guns or people kill people. But if you don't have a gun, unless you're like a martial artist or whatever, you may not have the ability
right.
to do so. However, there are many instances where people use all types of weapons. Blunt force trauma is a huge issue. Comes up very often in homicide cases. And that could be with baseball bats. That could be with, the weapon that's next to a candle is the closest thing to me, but this thing is pretty heavy. And if I hit somebody in the head with it, I'm pretty sure I can kill them. So I don't think that gun control, in my opinion, I don't think that controlling guns is the issue. I think it's,
you can stab people, you can do all types of things. Can you kill 50 people at once, though? You know what I mean?
Brother, you can make a bomb out of things in your house right now to kill 50
people.
A bomb.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, or you can sabotage the infrastructure of a building with a wrench, you know, in a blueprint, which is accessible on most websites, or go down to City Hall if you have the right, the Freedom of Information Act. So you can do damage to a mass number of people without a gun. However, I think if we want to focus on guns specifically, because I'm not at one point, if you asked me 3.5 years ago where I lost a friend of gun violence, and I myself was a victim of gun violence, or survivor rather, if you asked me 3.5 years ago, I would say, yeah, only the cops need to have guns. However, because I have a better understanding of what, I'll just say my opinions have changed. I now look at it as more of a mental health issue. For many of the people who do these mass killings, they have deeper issues, because our white counterparts commit mass shootings 4 times more likely than us. As recent as the last, I believe, I Googled it, I don't know, whenever I first got on the phone, probably, I think it's called 1982 or something like that. So the past 34 years, it's been 4 times more likely to be a white person. However, even still, whether they're white or black, I think the bigger issue is mental health. I'm pretty sure they have something going on a lot more than, hey, I don't like this group of people. So I think that's one issue that comes up. And another issue, I believe, is our white counterparts or people, I'm going to generalize, and please forgive me. I believe our white counterparts, they're taught how to respect guns at a young age. Because it's a way of life. I have a coworker who told me that she grew up and she knew where the guns were locked up. She knew not to touch them when she was older. Her dad taught her how to shoot them, and she grew up in like Pennsylvania, like in between Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh, like out in the county somewhere. So, and if you look at us, many of our people, when we think about guns, you see them in rap videos at an early age. You hear them in hip hop, and in our communities, they're not as respected. People play with BB guns and water guns, and this does transcend white and black, but I think that because guns aren't respected, and looked at as a tool that they could essentially be for protection, I think that's a large issue in our communities as well, brother.
Definitely. I'm so glad that you did what I failed to do, and that's bring up the cultural issue with this topic. I know I promised to answer questions and I never get to it, but you brought it up first, and that's a phenomenal point. That is a phenomenal point that they respect guns. Outside of the ones with mental health issues, white people respect guns earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I would get angry when inside, of course, you know, when kids would talk about guns at the school where I work, and these kids at this school are white. The school where I work is 95% white, and I can remember a day when a kid was writing a story that involved guns, and I saw guns in it, and I was like, yeah, why do they have to have so many guns? And he's like, oh, well, they're just protecting people. And I'm like, well, okay, and I just walked away. And I'm thinking that goes to show my that he's mature with it, and I was, you know, thinking the worst as a black man who knows so many people who are involved in the hip-hop culture and things like that. But yeah, man, unless you have anything else, I really, really, really appreciate that insight. I know you got to get back to your dinner.
Oh, I mean, I appreciate this, man. That's pretty much the gist of it, brother. I just heard while I was listening that July is like your grown and sexy month, and I actually have an event coming up in July. Shameless plug. However,
come on.
I could drop it real quick.
Please do, my man.
It'll be a conversation party called Candid Conversations About Sex, where we discuss sex as it is, sex and how it affects our lives every day. I think it's a taboo topic that, unfortunately, doesn't really get discussed in many households, especially if you grow up in the church or if you grow up in a strict home, regardless whether it's a church or mosque or so forth. And so we're going to talk about sex and how it affects us in our relationships. It's an impact on the media and the importance of sexual health, not just from a protecting yourself standpoint, but also understand not just protecting your body, but also understanding its effects in your relationship. So people would submit anonymous questions about sex. I'm the host. I'll pull out the question. We'll talk about it for about 5 or 10 minutes. We break it up with live entertainment. We have food. We have drinks. And it's all for about $15 or so. So you can follow us at Verbal Connections. Everything is spelled normally, Verbal Connections on Instagram, or check us out at verbalconnections.com for more details.
That's good. Where can I have sex for free? Without taking a girl out and spending money, where can is he going to answer that question at the end? No, let me stop.
Yeah, yeah. So it's on the corner of honesty and transparency, and I think that women and most people will just keep, like, they appreciate it. I mean, women want the same things as men, and I think that if you find the right partner and you guys are open and transparent about your wants and desires, you pick their brain and make sure that you guys are compatible, at least mentally or on some type of level beyond physical, if that's what you're into. And I'm pretty damn sure you don't have to spend a dime, brother.
Yeah, I'm not going to have to spend a dime, but she's going to be attached to me. You know, you ain't rushing for love and I ain't up here to judge. So let's neglect it with this and make it do what it does. Like I late
do
said.
It does,
you know what I mean?
My man.
I just want a one-nighter. It's been a long time. No, all right, that's a lie. Let me appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, man. I look forward to the next show.
Yes, sir, my man. My man.
Take care.
All right, we are moving on. I appreciate it. It is a phone blast. We got... Hello?
Yeah.
Toya, that's my cousin done called in. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to call and keep on the show. Excuse me right now. I'm traveling to the airport on my way to Charlotte, North Carolina. But I wanted to say that... I need my
now, turn your phone up. Turn your phone up, Toya. We can't hear much. You sound like Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Come, turn your phone up.
Okay. Can you hear me?
There we go. Let us have it. What you got?
Okay. I need my strength. You know, just because we have all these people with mental illnesses that just randomly killing people. You know, tragedy happened way before these loose shooters. There's a guy that just went up and shot up an elementary school with a bunch of little kids, you know, and then turned around and pulled a gun on himself. And then we still got the Orlando massacre. So guns are here, and they are they are available for people with these disorders. And some of these disorders have not been treated. People walking around crazy, and they don't even know it, and they crazy with a gun. But don't walk crazy around me. I'm from the hood. I need mine. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. What you're saying is that you need a strap because other people got straps.
Yeah, you know, and some people are humble enough not to say nothing, not to pull it out and wave it, you know, in the air. They'll just use it when they feel threatened. But you have other people, it makes them feel more masculine, or make them feel more gangster, or make them feel more, you know, secure in society. So they wave it in the air like they just don't care and shoot up everybody. No, we need to protect ourselves, because who else will protect us? You call the law, they come in 35 minutes.
That's a great point. That is a phenomenon. You call the law, they will be there in 35 minutes. But it'll just take me 2 minutes to grab my gun. It'll take me 2 minutes to grab my gun.
Boom, boom, everybody.
I feel you. I feel that. I see where you're coming from. I appreciate you, cuz.
All right, I love you. I'm on my way to Charlotte, so I got to go. But I wanted to say my piece. I'm going through security. So I love you.
Okay. Okay, good stuff. I love you, too. I love you, too. There it is. Now, I don't know if Latoya heard us my cousin. I don't know if she heard us at the beginning of the show when we did say that in 2010 there were zero justifiable homicides. I just wanted to throw that in there. She's off the phone now, so I can't be rebutted. But but listen here, we've got this will have to be our last call on our phone blast. This is my brother here, my good brother. He we've worked together in the past, and I want to say, Ross, I saw your phone number on the line and purposely saved you to the end of the show. Let us have it, bro. How you feel?
That's some pressure. How you doing?
No, it's no pressure at all. I just said Ross is passionate about this. Ross is passionate.
Yes.
Why are you so passionate, Ross? Let us have it.
Okay. The bottom line is this, and I've heard the first two callers. The bottom line is this, Eric, and I'll keep it very simple. Guns need to be banned, period. Okay, guns need to be eradicated from society. And I just don't understand why people feel as though guns still need to be legal. And this is a serious topic here. I mean, we're not living in 1776 anymore. We've got to hunt on the frontier, okay, to kill deer for your food. There have been so many violations with regard to mass murders, murders in the inner city, murders in schools, murders in malls. As far as I'm concerned, and what I just don't get is the fact that we've abused our right as a society to bear arms. We've abused our right. The moment you can, you have individuals walking into an elementary school shooting and killing 26-year-olds, something is wrong. And it's not an issue of mental health. The bottom line is guns can still be stolen. I've had guns stolen near me, and they can wind up in the hands of the wrong persons, per se. But guns need to be eradicated. And the argument that you'll hear is that, well, if you take guns away, then only the bad people will have guns. I said eradication. I don't care if you go door to door to get rid of guns. It might take 5 years, it might take 10 years, but make the penalty for gun possession so severe that you wouldn't dare bear arms. And sure, there'll still be incidents in the first 2-3 years, some bad attacks, I'm sure. But imagine how safe a society we'll live in 5-10 years once guns are all gone. Now, I've traveled a great deal. I've been to Singapore. I've been to deepest, darkest Africa. I've been to other countries where there are no guns, where guns are banned, where they're just not able to be possessed. And the fact is that those instances, these things just don't happen. And like I said, there's no need. Hunting is not a sport. I'm sorry, but if you give the deer a gun and let them shoot back, that's a sport. Hunting is not a sport. You can walk into Acme or ShopRite and get your food. As far as personal defense is concerned, in this day and age, 2016, I don't understand why there must be weapons of death. For example, we've got tasers, or with modern technology, why not create a device that just neutralizes the person or knocks them out, period? Police officers, too. You know, there's no need for AK-47s. There's no need for tools that kill. And the fact that you wake up every single day to incidents like this, whether it's a one-person murder or a multi-murder, it's unacceptable. And I'll add one more point, even with regard to the inner city. Since the Trayvon Martin incident, I read somewhere about 3 or 4 years ago, there have been 15 15,000 inner city black on black murders since Trayvon Martin was killed. 15,000. Okay, so that just proves to you that there's we've abused our right to bear these weapons. And I'm sorry, but I just don't understand why. I don't know what it's going to take to get people to wake up and realize that we need to eradicate our society of guns because we've abused our right. It's that simple to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I'm glad you gave it to us the way I hoped you would give it to us today on the show, Ross. Now, I clearly agree. There's not a word that you said that I don't agree with. There comes a point when the impact of the cost is greater than the impact of the reward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that simple. With everything, with everything that you allow, you can think about things that you allow in your personal life, people you allow to be in your personal life, or things that you allow to happen. You allow things to happen. You allow people to be around you. You allow things to go on in your individual world, because the reward outweighs the cost. And as a nation, I think we may have just reached our Australian 1996 juncture where the impact of the cost is greater than the impact of the reward. I mean, we've seen the cost of guns. We've seen the cost time and time again in Orlando, in Sandy Hook, in Massachusetts, in Boston, Massachusetts. And I mean, the reward is great, because I like the reward. I like the reward of guns just as much as everybody else. I mean, the reward of keeping our word to the Constitution and keeping the NRA happy. I want the NRA to be happy. They love guns so much. I want them to just be happy with what they do. And movies with guns, movies that have guns in them, become a lot less realistic if we ban guns as a nation. I like having the realism of those movies. You know, I like having people feel safe in their house because they have a gun. But when I found out that you're 80% more likely to use that gun on yourself, I say, well, you know what? The cost has outweighed the reward.
Right.
We've got to do something here, Ross.
Eric, can I make one more point? Can you still hear me there?
Eric? Come on.
Yeah, okay. One more
point before we get out of here.
I'm not sure
you're the man.
Where you were during the D.C. area snipers situation, but if you recall, there were people who were just mowing their lawns who got shot and killed. I mean, there were people who were at the bus stop sitting who got shot and killed. And the fact, I heard one of the callers earlier saying, oh, well, they'll use a knife, or oh, they'll use a bomb, they'll use a. At least if someone has a knife, for example, at least you have a fighting chance to snipe you out from 100 feet away, you know, for example. I'm about to walk into a grocery store right now, or, you know, or a mall later on today. And the fact that someone can just end my life, you know, a life or your life or your loved one's life without a fighting chance, without even a shot, you know, you're not coming back from death. And people just don't get that. It shouldn't be in the realm of possibility. And that's what living amongst these weapons has created. Someone can take your life on a whim, having a bad day, crazy or not, then just walk into an office building and blow the whole office away. Crazy or not. Not everyone's crazy. No, just because, just to prove a point.
Yeah.
And it just shouldn't be in the realm of possibility. And as far as I'm concerned, we've abused our right to bear arms. Period. It's as simple as that.
Yep, it is simple as that. It is as simple as that. Listen here, the purpose of the phone blast is we decide not to have a special guest so I can hear from my fan base, so I can talk to some listeners, so we can get a lot of different takes on a topic. And you know what? Turns out we had a special guest, Mr. Ross Wilson. I appreciate you, Ross Wilson, for giving it to us raw, giving it to us right, giving it to us the way you see fit. I appreciate everything you said. Listen, you are the man, Ross Wilson. I love you, bro. Thank you so much. Summer Love is upon us. Next week, we begin our Summer Love series on the Eric Terrell Show. We are starting off with a phenomenal topic, if I do say so myself. Next week on the Eric Terrell Show, we will discuss does the 90-day rule always work? We are going into Steve Harvey's like a lady, think like a man book, and we are extracting one of his principles, and we will dissect it, and it will be a good show. Love yourself. Love other people. Love the truth and love love. It's not hard to love love. All you've got to do is love God, because God is love, and God did it. Okay? Listen, I appreciate y'all. You're the man, Russ Wilson.